Last week, we were celebrating the resurrection, and the message I thought the Lord had me deliver for that was regarding God's answer for sin is the blood of Christ. Is, as in present and always active verb, right? Because it has been the answer since before the foundation of the world. And it will be the answer for the covering of sin, I guess, really, for all of eternity, won't it? So the point is, I was sharing that, and my brother Millen came up to me. He said, need to talk to you. And so he said, you know, I'm not really sure that everybody heard, and I'm paraphrasing this, if you don't mind, brother. So if it's terribly off, So in other words, I'm going to preach that sermon again. And if you don't like it, it's because Millen, okay? So you blame him. No, actually, I appreciated that because what Millen was saying is, you know, I didn't really hear you saying that we should be compelled, I think, compelled by the love of God, compelled. He said maybe because I think he was saying, and our behavior is our witness. Our behavior is our witness. Guess what? That is, your behavior validates whatever you say, right? And so I do appreciate Millen bringing that to my attention because we're going to talk about that today. So the title for the sermon today is, Are You Ready for Work? Are you ready for work? Are you ready for it? So I want you to go with me to 1 Peter 3:15. We're going to be all over the Bible today. You're going to enjoy that. You'll know almost all these verses. But I ask you to go with me because it may give you a chance to underline or somehow note in your Bible if you feel comfortable with that. But 1 Peter 3:15. Now, you're probably very familiar with this, and we've used it quite a few times. But 1 Peter 3:15 says, But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. Now, I want to share just a couple things with you. That word ready means prepared, just like you think it means. The word answer is the Greek word apologia, from which we get apologetics, which means I'm going to stand in defense of this, okay? I'm going to defend what I believe. I'm going to be able to share with you why I believe what I believe. That's what apologetics is about. And so, and the reason is this comes from the Greek word that gives us the word for logic. So in other words, because we are Christians, we have a very logical answer to give to someone who, noting our Christian behavior, asks us about it, right? Well, I've been changed. I am no longer the person I was, right? And so, but we should give verbal testimony as the Holy Spirit leads us. And so we're going to talk about that in some depth today. But I think now would be a great time to pray, and then we'll go into several passages in your Bible there. So let's pray. Father, we do come with our praise. We thank you, Lord, that you do give us hope, and that it should be evident to others that we have a hope, the great hope that is in Christ himself, the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings, our Savior and Lord. And so we ask you, Lord, as we study in your word, help us to see that we need to be prepared. We need to be ready to be your ministers. And so, Lord, help us as your Holy Spirit nudges us and convicts us of our failings, of our lack of desire to be ready. Lord, help us to be obedient children for the glory of our Savior Christ. For we pray in his holy name. Amen. So we see here in 1 Peter plenty of reason for us to consider that. But I want to take you to some places that give us a foundation for this. So let's go to Matthew. In the words of Christ, I think we're pretty solid anytime we take instruction from the words of Christ. So let's go to Matthew chapter 22. And this is also a passage that I think you'll find very familiar. Jesus is teaching, and as he's teaching, he always stirs up some trouble because there are people there who don't want to be taught. Just a word of warning. When the Lord's trying to teach you, don't be guilty of not being one to be taught. Some of us can be, and please hear this. You can be saved and not be willing to be taught, okay? That's sinful. It's a sin, but we do sin, don't we? It's a horrible backslidden condition, as we Baptists would call that. But the truth is, whenever we don't do in that moment what the Holy Spirit is guiding us to do, it's a matter of, am I being rebellion? Am I being, in fact, taught something else? Because I think that's one of the things I've noticed about reading the Bible is whenever Jesus is walking, he's talking, and when he's talking, he's teaching. Right? I mean, wherever he's going, if he's with his disciples or wherever he is, he's talking to somebody because he's wanting to teach them. And as you're walking with the Holy Spirit, he's wanting to teach you and I. Right? So we can walk closer and closer. So Matthew 22, Jesus is teaching and some of those religious folks are there. Let's go to verse 34, and it'll tell you about the Pharisees and Sadducees being there. But when the Pharisees had heard that he put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him. Catch that note, tempting him. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. In fact, that's what the Jewish people call the Shema. And they still today say that. Good Orthodox Jewish people say that today, every day. Okay? And so, and the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And so what he sees there, now this guy who's walking up trying to catch Jesus in some kind of word trap, he heard from him that all of the law and the prophets hang on loving God with all of our every fiber of our being, loving God with our heart, with our mind, with everything that we have. And if we love God with all our mind, all our heart, with all our soul, all our spirit, everything that we, all our strength, guess what's going to happen? We're going to love as God loves. What was it? John said, 1 John 4:8. We know that one, right? Don't we? He that loveth not, knoweth not God. Right? For God is love. Right? Now we can love our football team. If we have a quarterback, I don't know. If we can love our favorite dessert, we can love our family, our wives, our husbands, children. That is not the kind of love we're talking about here. Okay? Because when Jesus talks about love, he talks about love in the sense that we should be changed by the presence of his Holy Spirit so that we don't love. What was it in the Sermon on the Mount? He said, you've heard it said. You know, if you read the Sermon on the Mount, he really is great about saying, you know, you've always heard. And what he's doing is addressing these traditions. And then he destroys the tradition, right? Have you caught that? Okay, reread the Sermon on the Mount. Because we need to see that, because if there's one thing Jesus wants us to do, is follow him more than traditions. Okay? And so you have heard it said to love your neighbor but hate your enemies. Right? Then what does he say? But I say unto you, love your enemies. And what? Pray for those who despitefully abuse you, use you, okay? Now, think about that for a second. What do you remember from the cross? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What was he doing? He was illustrating, he was demonstrating the love of God, just as he talked about on the Sermon on the Mount. You see, the difference between talking about love and living love is Jesus Christ, his Holy Spirit. You know, it is not a natural thing that you love someone who's just scourged the flesh off of your bone and is mocking you and has nailed you to a cross. That is not, listen to me, that is not within the realm of human possibility. But it is absolutely normal Christian behavior. While you're reading, when you finish rereading the Sermon on the Mount, go reread Fox's Book of Martyrs, okay? And listen to those folks praying for those people who are lighting the fire, that they're going to be burned alive, okay? That is what we are called to do. Listen, you and I aren't going to get there. He's going to take us there. Who's he? The Spirit of Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. They're all the same, right? There's one God, three persons. But the point is that, so what we have here is we are compelled by our love for God and desire to please him, Somebody told me once, if it's important, say it three times. Right? So you just heard it three times. All right, our desire to please, and that's free, okay? We're compelled by that love for him and our compassion for those around us that are outside his family. Why? The one who lives in us, the one who abides in us, makes us that way. Do you understand? Okay, no, I don't understand it either, but I'm just asking, you get the teaching. Because it's a very good indication of his presence that we love in spite of someone else's actions. Because love in this world is so easy to find as long as someone's doing what we want them to do. If they're part of our agenda, part of our plan, we just think that's wonderful. And as soon as they step outside that, we've got a problem. So we have the moral responsibility to go to work sharing the reason for our hope. Okay? Now, go to Matthew 28. It's just a couple pages over, probably, in your Bible. Matthew 28, you recognize immediately at the end, there is the Great Commission. So we've had the Great Commandment, and now we have the Great Commission, because we're going to have the moral authority. The moral authority. So look at verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. And so what we have here is the will of God expressed as a commissioning exercise. Have you ever been commissioned? I've had the privilege of being commissioned to serve this nation of ours. I'm very pleased to say that it was my great honor to do that. I was commissioned because you also, Bill, weren't you? Yes. So some of the others around here. Oh, okay. So, my point is, when I was in the Army, there was a name tag on my shirt, but there was also the authority, was strangely enough, over my heart. It said, U.S. Army. Right? I wasn't operating as Tim Crosby. I was operating as someone commissioned by the government of the United States to do its will. When you go and you're doing what Jesus has said, you have been commissioned to do his will. Oh, now, you're talking about some authority. Listen to me. When you speak the words of God and the power of the Holy Spirit for the glory of Christ, you have the authority of Christ Himself. Why? Because that's his word. That's His intention. So when you're sharing the love of God, it is absolutely with the authority of God. So you have a responsibility, but He also gives you some authority. Authority, that's important because, folks, sometimes we wonder how we go about doing these things. But he who is in you is greater than he that is in the world, right? And I've alluded to that several times because the truth of the matter is, John, the Gospel of John, Jesus was telling us, not about the Great Commandment, not about the Great Commission. He's talking about the Great Comforter, right? Go to John 14. John chapter 14. Now this is in the upper room, yet just before the crucifixion, just before going out to the Garden of Gethsemane. And Jesus is trying to reassure them and give them comfort because he knows that in a few hours they're going to be frightened out of their minds. Right? Don't you love that? He's facing the cross and he's concerned about them. That's God's love. Right? That's God's love. Okay. So John chapter 14, and we're going to read just a few verses. You know it very well. Verse 23 is where we'll start. Jesus answered and said unto him, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him." And I want to stop there for just a second. What kind of pronouns are being used there? We will come unto him, we'll make our abode. What is that? Those are plural pronouns. That's not he will, I will. It's we will. Why? Jesus said, I and the Father are one. The Holy Spirit could say, Jesus and I are one. The Son and I are one. The Father and I are one. You see, there is one God. Three persons. Now, again, do you understand that? No, you don't understand that. But please understand something. This is our God who is omnipresent. He is God, the Creator. And so He is omnipresent throughout this entire creation. And oh, by the way, transcending this creation in ways we'll never dream to understand, right? And so the idea that we can't understand how He can be abiding with us, does that really slow you down that much? With everything else you don't understand, nobody understands. He transcends this universe. We haven't begun to be able to measure this universe yet, right? How great is that God of ours? And so what I'm trying to get us to see is that when we start talking about the moral responsibility and the moral authority of God Himself, He's present to enforce both. We will abide with you. We will have our abode with you. Okay? So let me finish that passage. I didn't know I was going to say all that. So it says, "He that loveth me keepeth not my he that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me." In other words, when Jesus is getting to some hard preaching, he says, if you don't love me, it's evident because you don't keep my commandments. If you love me, it's evident because you do keep my commandments. Pretty straightforward and simple, isn't it? And he was saying, please understand something. Because the truth of the matter is, he knew the hearts of these men around him. They were still thinking of him as a great teacher, a great prophet. I mean, they'd seen all kinds of miracles, they'd all kinds of things. But we know it took the resurrection to persuade them that he is really the Son of God, right? And so that's what when we testify to people, we need to live a life that indicates the power of a risen Savior, a Lord who makes a difference in our lives. Right? If we're not doing that, we probably won't be having too many people ask about the hope of our lives, okay? Let's be honest. So that's where we are in our obligations, okay? Our obligation to Him. So here's this omnipresent God who's saying, I will be with you in a way that is very different. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. Whatsoever I have said unto you, peace I leave unto you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Do you know when you're at peace and the people around you are struggling, they notice that. Do you hear what I'm saying? I never will forget the time when Suzanne was having surgery in New Orleans. And we were, in New Orleans, they treat you very specially when you have surgery because you're wheeled into this huge room and it's divided by curtains. And of course, you have enough room for you to stand beside the gurney. At least this is the way it was then. And then the curtain is touching you. So it's maybe 4 feet by 8 feet or something. You know, it's very, very tight. And so you hear people all around you. And Suzanne and I, now she's facing a very serious surgery, but we're very much at peace. And we can hear people around us literally weeping because of their fear. I'm not bragging on us. I'm just saying the Holy Spirit will bring a peace that passes understanding because of our Savior who has secured that for us. You see what I'm saying? And those who don't know Him, listen, need to know Him. And how do they know Him? We ought to tell them. We ought to tell them. Are you ready to go to work? Yesterday, by the way, I keep talking about being changed by His presence. 2 Corinthians 5:17, you know that verse very well. And so, as a paraphrase, it says, anyone who is in Christ, any man in Christ, is a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. Does that sound right? Why did that happen? Because someone moved in. Listen, someone who was holy moved in. And some things had to be moved out because He is holy. You see what I'm saying? You see, he doesn't just bring us power, which is wonderful. He doesn't bring just His presence, His person. He brings us the purity of His holiness so that our Savior, who is holy, and our Father, who is holy, can have a relationship with us that they want. The fellowship that you and I have a need for is only available after the cleansing. If we haven't been cleaned up, we still don't belong to a Father. Oh, He created us. He created us in His image. Right? Why? For fellowship. For fellowship. And He created us spiritually. You know, we are spiritual beings, and we are going to spend eternity somewhere. Please know that. This life will end much quicker than we probably recognize or are ready for in most cases. But we're going to spend eternity somewhere because He's made us that way. His desire is for eternal fellowship. That's why He made us this way. And so when we talk about the presence of the Holy Spirit, it's important that we recognize that He's doing these things. He's bringing us that peace as we walk with Him. I'm struggling with this a little bit now because yesterday I was at a Bible study and we were in Ephesians 2 and somebody said something that I didn't really say anything about. Because I need to share this with you, and I've shared this with you before. One of the jobs as pastor that I have is to warn you about things that are not right. I'm going to share this with you. I know for a fact, in my own experience, the Lord saved me almost 60 years ago now. That's why I feel so old. I'm getting really old. So almost 60 years ago, I got saved. And as I've learned to walk closer and closer to Him, guess what? My vision improves. I'm not talking about my visual acuity. You know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, I see things. I'm not a prophet. We don't need any poor prophets. I see things more like God sees them now than ever before. And if somebody's out there sowing seed, I can tell you what kind of harvest they're going to have, right? Isn't there a law of the harvest that God has said? Be not deceived. God is not mocked. As a man soweth, what? That shall he also reap. And by the way, you know, it says that we should hide the word of God. Thy word have I hidden mine heart. Was it Psalm 119:11, I think? Thy word have I hidden mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Right? So it's not a matter of memorization. It's a matter of also walking with the Lord, walking with His Holy Spirit, going, being led by Him. And so this thing yesterday where somebody was saying, we got these pastors and they are talking bad about this denomination and all these other denominations and things. And that's not what we do here. And listen to me carefully. I'm going to share the truth with you. And if the truth offends you, come and tell me. Because maybe I'm mistaken. Maybe you can correct me. Right, Millen? Maybe you can correct me. And so what I'm asking of you is to consider what I'm saying and see if it's true. And if it is true, then it doesn't matter who it came from. God can use a donkey to preach, right? But if it's true, it should be true in your life. And so, for example, we were talking about people need to know the gospel, right? Well, we've got the Presbyterian Church USA just this week said, you know, we're gonna finish, close out our foreign missions. We're not going to do any missionary work anymore because it's too close to colonization for us. Do you hear what I'm saying? The Presbyterian Church, the USA. Now, there's several different branches of the Presbyterians, right? But listen to me. That means they are failing to do God's mission. They're failing to be concerned about God's mission, and the reason is because they don't have the love of God. Now, I'm saying some harsh things here. But how in the world can you and I have the gospel and not want to share it with everyone? How can that possibly be? And the answer is it can't. Okay? And so Millen was right. If Jesus Christ is your Savior and your Lord, and by the way, I don't know how that works out if you try to get one and not the other. I don't know about that, right? That didn't work very well. How can you not? The prophet Jeremiah, wasn't it Jeremiah said, I have a fire in my bones? I don't want to say these things, but I'm compelled to. Why? Because the Holy Spirit was on him. Right? The Holy Spirit is with you, dear brother or sister. If you belong to Christ, He is compelling you because of your love for God, your compassion for other people, to share the truth. And so I want to take you just very briefly, because we didn't really talk about this verse so much yesterday. It says in chapter 2, verse 10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So we all know Ephesians 2, 8, 9 pretty well, don't we? But did you catch that? We are being saved unto good works that we should walk in them. You see, it always goes back to Jesus saying, lay down your nets, come follow me. If you love me, just follow me. Keep my commandments. If you're going to be my disciple, You have to leave now and follow me. All that God has ever asked of us is to allow him to change us into being more like him so that he can have a closer and more intimate relationship with us, more sweeter fellowship. And so, what was it David said? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Can you say that? Well, he could, because thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I know that you're the great shepherd. You are the good shepherd and you are here. That's what David is saying. And so I think what we need to see is that God has called us to be faithful, called us to lean upon the power that is available to us by the presence of his Holy Spirit and be obedient. The Apostle Paul, can you imagine someone any bolder than the Apostle Paul? Can you imagine? I can remember talking to one lady once, and she was talking to me about how she was going to be healed because she had to wear glasses. But she had this kind of belief that if she prayed enough and believed enough, God was going to heal her so she wouldn't have to wear glasses anymore. And I said, well, you know, it seems to me, I remember Paul saying something about the thorn in the flesh, that he said, well, nevertheless, Lord, your will be done. Let's go ahead with, well, if Paul had more faith, he would have been healed. I said, I see. So if you want to, if you're one of those folks who think you might have more faith than Paul, I'm going to have a little trouble talking with you because I can't get there myself, right? I just want you to know something. Even Paul was concerned that he would grow closer and closer to God and that he'd be bolder. He wanted to be bold. This is the man who they tried to kill how many times? He wanted to be bolder in his testimony. Since we're in Ephesians, you're in Ephesians, let's go to chapter 6. And right after the segment on the armor, notice the armor, and read that segment. And so much of what the armor is about is talking about how the Holy Spirit would empower you and guide you and make you available for use by God. So, in verse 19, right after the passage on the armor of God, Paul was saying, and for me, he was saying, praying always for all the saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly, for what purpose? To make known the mystery of the gospel. To make known the mystery of the gospel. Be ready always to give an answer for the hope that is in you. The hope that is in you is the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And let us be ready to go to work. Let's pray together. Father, we come with our praise indeed. We thank you, Lord, for all the ways you've proven your love and grace to us. We thank you for your very presence here among us, your children. Help us, Lord, to be obedient children. Help us to see the most important thing to you in all of the world is that everyone hears the gospel, that everyone has their opportunity now in the correct timing. So, Lord, we ask you to help us to be obedient to your timing as you give us opportunity, Lord. As you give us opportunity, help us to be obedient, to share the truth of God's love, of the blood of Christ and his grace. For we pray in that holy name. Amen. This morning is